Malca. Malca.
Good morning. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gedula Shemincha Tati Tera Alephet Gimel Yitzat Tzadi Kabel Rina Amcha Sagvenu Saharenu No Ra Kufreshayim Sintet Nun, the letters of the month of Kislev, the Gimel that created the planet Tzedek, the planet Jupiter, and the Samech that created the constellation Keshet, the astrological sign of Sagittarius. Together, the Samech and the Gimel have a gematria of 63, which connects us to the energy store known as the Sefirah Bina. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Tacharem Rachame Sidkatcha Tamish Gamlen Betet Resh Saritav Gimel Hasim Kadosh Erov Tucha Nael Adata Etkuf Bet Tet Nunayim Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushatah Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. Shabbatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumot, Shin Kufal, Tzadi Yud Taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We are now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. We will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav chesed be'emet, notze chesed la'alabim, notze awon wafesha, v'chata'av v'nakeh. We are now going to connect to a verse, a pasuk from Zohar, that has the energy of certainty. It's from Parashah Yitro, Pasuk 29. And we will start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabari Fu Ishkinte Bidkilu Erhimud Hilud Hilu Erhimu Le'afka L'shem Yud He Bavav He Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah ויהי נועם אדוני אלוהינו עלינו מעשה ידינו כנענה עלינו מעשה ידינו כנענהו. ואריה אבא אמר בכמה אתר תעננן דקודשה Who coma de aved leila witata cola di u kishot biovada dikshot vele lach mila bialma divae barnash the dach yalea mimoya ulanaga teya kalana hakulu ovada. Dig shot in the cola, it's the reef. The alma. Well, now going to connect to the year 5778 and its energy. Its energy of bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we will study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. וישכב אמנון ויתחל ויבוא המלך לראותו ויאמר אמנון אל המלך תבוא נא תמר אחותי ותלבן לעיני שתי לביאות באברך מידה. The second verse that connects to this energy in the year 5778 is from Psalm chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tavshin Ayin Chet. The letters of the name of the year are separated by three letters each. Chatati odiacha va'avoni lo kisiti amarti odeale b'shai ladonai yohe wahevi ata nasata avon chatati sela. The year 5777, known as the year of the goats, also has two verses that connect to this energy. The first verse that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create satsuki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, we get dir yam, translation, sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to the year 5777, Tafshin Ayin Zion, has concealed within it the name of the year, and the letters of the name of the year are separated by seven letters each. The verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Ki imba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem tadibaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has two verses that connect to its energy. The first one that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha'olot v'yehaskum acheichem ha'leviyim ad kilot hamlacha v'ad yitkadshu ha'kohanim. Ki ha-levim yishre levav lehitkadesh me ha-kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe lalahe wawawa yolayo alame. Hey, 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 aka, rekaha. And the second verse that we study that connects to the energy of the pause, 5776, is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Yitru ba Adonai Yohewahe ade ad kibia. Yo hey Adonai yo hey wahe sur olami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh. The first that we read is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Next we will read 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoyam, asher yitkabe sham vishavtem elai el nachum. Tehalakti itchem v'chayayim yeshno, v'aretz v'chipasti, o tov b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Keger lo lanetzach yoved ro'av, yom ru'ayo. The verse from the year 5774, which has the energy of peace in the Middle East, it is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, the only verse in the Tanakh with this energy. Wesamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakam ta'ata v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu. Bene avla anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. And we do this in the month of Kislev due to its connection to silence. We do this through scanning the names. I will say the row number in order to keep us all in sync. Row number 1, row number 2, Row number three. Row number four. Row number five. Row number six. Row number seven. Row number eight. Row number nine. Names from the Tzaddikim, we follow the same pattern of scanning. Row number one. Row number two. Row number three. Row number four. Row number five. Row number six. Row number seven. Row number eight. Row number nine. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the 15th day of Kislev, the full moon day, is Rabbi David ben Rabbi Yitzhak Twersky of Sfar, Rabbi Eliyahu Levi of Libya, Rabbi Raphael Evan Sur, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Abraham Ibn Ezra II, Rabbi Zeev of Zitomer, Rabbi Eliezer Fishel of Brody, Rabbi Simcha Bunim Sofer of Pressburg, and Rabbi David HaKohen Leibowitz. The Tzaddikim who left on the 16th day, which starts this evening, as is our normal pattern to read the names of the Tzaddikim from this day as well. Rabbi Meshulam Roth, Rabbi Yaakov of Lublin, Rabbi Shaul Yedidya Elazar Taub, Rabbi David Lieb Schwartz of Bnei Brak, Rabbi Menachem Kalish of Amshinov. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class continues our preparation for the holiday of Hanukkah. You can find the handout on the unique astrological times link, which is underneath the two pictures on the right of any Yeshem webpage, or if you're on your mobile device, it may be at the end of the page. When you open up the unique astrological times link, scroll down to where it says preparation for Hanukkah. It's underneath Rosh Chodesh Kislev and also under the preparation for miracles section. But you're clicking on the preparations for Hanukkah-rituals. And that will open up the page to where it says Hanukkah rituals. And this is where we will begin reading. Hanukkah is celebrated with a series of rituals that are performed every day throughout the eight-day holiday. Some are family-based and others are communal. There are special additions to the daily prayer service as well, and a section is added to the blessing after the meals. There are also special Torah readings dealing with the tribes and the astrological impacts from the Torah during each day. This is only done by the Kabbalistic minyans. Most minyanim do not do special Torah readings. Hanukkah is not a Sabbath-like holiday, and there is no obligation to refrain from activities that are forbidden on the Shabbat, as specified in the Shulchan Aruch. Adherents go to work as usual, but many leave early in order to be home to kindle the lights at nightfall. There is no religious reason for schools to be closed. Although in Israel, schools close from the second day of the whole week of Hanukkah. Many families exchange small gifts each night, such as books or games. Fried foods such as latkes, which are potato pancakes, jelly donuts, which are known as sufganiyot in Hebrew, are eaten to commemorate the importance of oil during the celebration of Hanukkah. Kindling the Hanukkah lights. Each night throughout the eight-day holiday, a candle or oil-based light is lit as a universally practiced beautification of the mitzvah. The number of lights lit is increased by one each night. An extra light called a shamash, meaning attendant or sexton, is also lit each night and is given a distinct location, usually higher, lower, or to the side of the others. The purpose of the extra light is to adhere to the prohibition specified in the Talmud against using the Hanukkah lights for anything other than publicizing and meditating on the Hanukkah miracle. This differs from Sabbath candles, which are meant to be used for illumination and lighting. Hence, if one were to need extra illumination on Hanukkah, the shamash candle would be available, and one would avoid using the prohibited lights. Some light the shamash candle first and then use it to light the others. Others light the shamash after the others. So altogether, including the shamash, two lights are lit on the first night, three on the second, and so on, ending with nine on the last night for a total of 44. 36 if we exclude the shamash. And I am adding, both these numbers are significant, yet traditionally only the 36 is discussed and remembered. 36 represents the revealed tzaddikim, while 44 represents blood, the source of life force energy. The tzaddikim add to the life force energy of the blood, the people in the world. The lights can be candles or oil lamps. Electric lights are sometimes used and are acceptable in places where open flame is not permitted, such as a hospital room, or for the very elderly and infirm. Most Jewish homes have a special candelabrum, referred to either as a Hanukkiah, which is the modern Israeli term, or a menorah, the traditional classical name, or oil lamp holder for Hanukkah, which holds eight lights plus the additional shamash light. Since the 1970s, the worldwide Chabad Hasidic movement has initiated public menorah lightings in open public places in many countries. The reason for the Hanukkah lights is not for the lighting of the house within, but rather for the illumination of the house without, so that passerbys would see it and be reminded of the holiday's miracle, the triumph of the few over the many, and of the pure over the impure. Accordingly, lamps are set up at a prominent window or near the door leading to the street. It is customary amongst some Ashkenazi Jews to have a separate menorah for each family member. Customs do vary from community to community. Whereas most Sephardi Jews light one for the whole household, only when there was danger of anti-Semitic persecution were lamps supposed to be hidden from public view, as was the case in Persia under the rule of the Zoroastrians, or in parts of Europe before and during the World War II. However, most Hasidic groups light lamps near an inside doorway and not necessarily in public view. According to this tradition, the lamps are placed on the opposite side from the mezuzah, so that when one passes through the door, he is surrounded by the holiness of mitzvot. My commentary. The Kabbalah teaches that there is a stream of Shefa energy called the Or Ganuz, the hidden light. Tradition teaches that this Or Ganuz is the light that was created on the first day of creation. When one lights the candles, one makes connection with this light and draws it into their homes or wherever the candles are sitting. This is why the Kabbalists disagree with the Chabad organization, who makes a grand celebration in public, including open spaces. The Chabad Rebbe, who was a top-flight Kabbalist, felt the public exposure was worth the potential abuse of the light. Generally, women are exempt in Jewish law from time-bound positive commandments. However, the Talmud requires that women engage in the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles, for they too were involved in the miracle. In practice, in Orthodox households, only the males in the household are obligated to light the menorah. Candle lighting time. Hanukkah light should burn for at least 1/2 hour after it gets dark. The custom of the Vilna Gaon, observed by many residents of Jerusalem as the custom of the city, is to light at sundown, although most Hasidim light later, even in Jerusalem. Many Hasidic Rebbes light much later because they fulfill the obligation of publicizing the miracle by the presence of their Hasidim when they kindle the lights. Inexpensive small wax candles sold for Hanukkah burn for approximately 1/2 hour, so on most days this requirement can be safely ignored. Friday night presents a problem. Since candles may not be lit on the Shabbat itself, the candles must be lit before sunset. However, they must remain lit until the regular time it is for you to use longer candles or the traditional oil lamps. In keeping with the above stated prohibition, the Hanukkah menorah is lit first, followed by the Shabbat candles, which signify its onset. Blessings over the candles. Typically, three blessings, three brachot, are recited during this 8-day festival with lighting the candles. On the first night of Hanukkah, the Jews recite all three blessings. On all subsequent nights, they recite only the first two. The blessings are said before or after the candles are lit, depending on tradition. On the first night of Hanukkah, one light is lit on the right side of the menorah. On the following night, a second light is placed to the left of the first, and so on, proceeding from right to left over the eight nights. On each night, the leftmost candle is lit first, and lighting proceeds from left to right. My commentary. If you are unable to find a copy of the Hanukkah blessings, you can ask me for a copy, and I will send you a PDF file. Many copies of the blessings follow a pattern of using the similar bracha to Shabbat. On Shabbat, the last words, Shel Shabbat, are said. On Hanukkah, we avoid saying the word Shel, so that the last three words are Lechadlik Ner Shabbat. They're not Lechadlik Ner Shel Shabbat. The first letters of these three words, Lechadlik Ner Shabbat, form a triad that relates to healing. If we were to say Shel, the shin of Shel would interrupt the connection to the triad for healing. Most people do not know this and say the blessing, losing this potential kavanah, this potential opportunity for healing. Here's some deeper meditations for the Hanukkah blessings and the Ner Yehudim. We will cover this in our next class next Sunday. We're continuing to read. During the half hour that the candles are burning, it is customary to do some spiritual actions and watch the candles. Songs, playing dreidel, Torah study, the exchange of gifts, including Hanukkah gilt for the children, are all considered spiritual actions. Below are the words of some of the Hanukkah songs. Anerot halalu. During or after the lights are kindled, the hymn Hanerot halalu is recited. There are several differing versions, and the one I'm presenting here in the Hebrew is the Ashkenazi version. And there is a transliteration as well as an English translation. Another song that is sung is Rock of Ages, or in Hebrew, Ma'otzur. This song is sung each night. The song contains six stanzas. The first and last deal with general themes of divine salvation, but the middle four deal with events of persecution in Jewish history and praises Hashem for survival despite these tragedies. The exodus from Egypt, the Babylonian captivity, the miracle of the holiday of Purim, and a longing for the days when Judea will finally triumph over Rome. Here are some other customs. Dreidels are spinning tops in a Jerusalem market. After lighting the candles and singing Ma'otzur and other Hanukkah songs, many Jewish homes, some Hasidic, some Sephardi, recite psalms such as Psalm 30, Psalm 67, which is the menorah psalm, and Psalm 91. In North America and in Israel, it is common to exchange presents or give the children presents at this time. In addition, many families encourage their children to give tzedakah in lieu of presents for themselves. Special additions to daily prayers. An addition is made to the Hoda'ah, the Thanksgiving benediction in the Amidah, called Al HaNisim. This addition refers to the victory achieved over the Syrians by the Hasmonean Mattathiahu and his sons. Here is a translation of that addition. We thank you for the miraculous deeds and the redemption, and for the mighty deeds and the saving acts wrought by you, as well as for the wars which you waged for our ancestors in ancient days at this season. In the days of the Hashmonean Mattathiahu, the son of Jonathan, the high priest, and his sons, when the iniquitous Greco-Syrian kingdom rose up against your people Israel to make them forget your Torah and to turn them away from the ordinances of your will, then you in your abundant mercy rose up for them in the time of their trouble, pled their cause, executed judgment, and avenged their wrong, and delivered the strong into the hands of the weak, the many into the hands of the few, the impure into the hands of the pure, the wicked into the hands of the righteous, and insolent ones into the hands of those occupied with your Torah. Both unto yourself did you make a great and holy name in thy world, and unto your people did you achieve a great deliverance and redemption. Whereupon your children entered the sanctuary of your house, cleansed your temple, purified your sanctuary, kindled lights in your holy courts, and appointed these 8 days of Hanukkah in order to give thanks and praises unto your holy name. This same prayer is added into the grace after meals. In addition, the Hallel, Psalm 113 through 118, are sung during each morning service, and Tachanun penitential prayers are omitted. The Torah is read every day in the Shacharit morning services in the synagogue. On the first day, beginning from Numbers 6:22, according to some customs, Numbers, and the last day, ending with Numbers 8:4. Since Hanukkah lasts 8 days, it includes at least one, and sometimes two, Jewish Sabbaths. The weekly Torah portion for the first Shabbat is almost always Miketz, telling of Joseph's dream and his enslavement in Egypt. The Haftorah reading for the first Shabbat, and when there is a second Shabbat, the Haftorah reading is from 1 Kings. The Hanukkah menorah is also kindled daily in the synagogue, at night with the blessings and in the morning without the blessings. The menorah is not lit on the Shabbat, but rather prior to the beginning of the Shabbat at night, and not at all during the day. During the Middle Ages, Megillat Antiochus was read on the Italian synagogues on Hanukkah, just as the Book of Esther is read on Purim. It still forms part of the liturgy of the Yemenite Jews. Zot Hanukkah. The last day of Hanukkah is known as Zot Hanukkah, from the verse read on this day in the synagogue. This was the dedication of the altar. Zot Hanukkat HaMizbeach. According According to the teachings of Kabbalah and Hasidim, this day is the final seal of the high holiday season of Yom Kippur and is considered a time to repent out of love for Hashem. In this spirit, many Hasidic Jews wish each other Gemar Chatima Tova, may you be sealed totally for good, a traditional greeting for the Yom Kippur season. It is taught in Hasidic and Kabbalistic literature that this day is particularly auspicious for the fulfillment of prayers. The symbolic importance. Many people define major Jewish holidays as those that feature traditional holiday meals, kiddush, holiday candlelighting, and other rituals. And when all forms of work are forbidden, only biblical holidays fit this criteria. And Hanukkah was instituted some 2 centuries after the Bible was completed and canonized. Nevertheless, though Hanukkah is of rabbinic origin, it is traditionally celebrated in a major and very public fashion. The requirement to position the menorah, or the Hanukkiah, at the door or window symbolizes the desire to give the Hanukkah miracle a high profile. The classical rabbis downplayed the military and nationalistic dimensions of Hanukkah, and some even interpreted the emphasis upon the story of the miracle oil as a diversion away from the struggle with empires that had led to the disastrous downfall of Jerusalem to the Romans. Some Jewish historians suggest a different explanation, from the rabbinic reluctance to laud the militarism. First, the rabbis wrote, after Hasmonean leaders had led Judea into Rome's grip, and so may not have wanted to offer the family much praise. Second, they clearly wanted to promote a sense of dependence on Hashem, urging Jews to look toward the divine for protection. They likely feared including Jews to another revolt that might end in disaster, like the Bar Kokhba revolution. With the advent of Zionism and the State of Israel, however, these themes were reconsidered. In modern Israel, the national and military aspects of Hanukkah became once again more dominant. In North America especially, Hanukkah gained increased importance, with many Jewish families in the final decades of the 20th century, including large numbers of secular Jews who wanted a Jewish alternative to the Christmas celebrations that often overlap with Hanukkah. Though it was traditional among Ashkenazi Jews to give gilt or money coins to children during Hanukkah, in many families this has changed into gifts in order to prevent Jewish children from feeling left out of the Christmas gift-giving. While Hanukkah is a relatively minor Jewish holiday, as indicated by the lack of religious restrictions on work, other than a few minutes after lighting the candles, in North America, Hanukkah in the 21st century has taken a place equal to Passover as a symbol of Jewish identity. Both the Israeli and North American versions of Hanukkah emphasize resistance, focusing on some combination of national liberation and religious freedom as the defining meaning of the holiday. A large number of songs have been written on Hanukkah themes, perhaps more so than any other Jewish holiday. Some of the best known are Hanukkah Lilish, I have a Monica menorah. Another song, Ocho candelicas, 8 little candles. Katkatan, a small jug. Salivon, so, dreidel, spin and spin. Anerod, hallelu. These candles which we light. Me, Malel, who can retell? And nearly, nearly, I have a candle. The most well-known in English-speaking countries include dreidel, 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 I have a little dreidel. And also, Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah. There are special foods for Hanukkah. The custom is to eat fried foods, baked in oil, and preferably olive oil, to commemorate the miracle of a small flask of oil keeping the flame in the temple alight for 8 days. Traditional foods include potato pancakes, known as latkes in Yiddish, especially among the Ashkenazi families. The Sephardi, the Polish, and the Israeli families eat jam-filled donuts, or bimulos, which are fried fritters, and suganiyot, which are deep fried in oil. Bakeries in Israel have popularized many new types of fillings for suganiyot, besides the traditional strawberry jelly filling, including chocolate cream, vanilla cream, caramel, cappuccino, and others. In recent years, downsized mini suganiyot containing half of the calories of the usual 400 to 600, these downsized versions have become popular. There is also a tradition of eating cheese products on Hanukkah, and this is recorded in rabbinic literature. The custom is seen as a commemoration of the involvement of Judith and the women in the events of Hanukkah. The dreidel, or the servivon in Hebrew, is a four-sided spinning top that children play with on Hanukkah. Each side is imprinted with a Hebrew letter. These letters are an acronym for the Hebrew words Sham, Kaya, Gadol, and Nes. A great miracle happened there. In Israel, this is changed to Sham, is changed to Zeh, and it's a great miracle happened here. When you play the game, if the nun falls, if the dreidel falls with the nun showing, nothing happens. The next player spins. If it falls with the gimel, all the players take the entire pot, meaning the player who spun takes all of the pot. This is a gambling game. Ostensibly was to be a foil against the Roman soldiers who would investigate groups of Jews who appeared to be studying Torah. And they explained, no, we're not studying Torah, we're gambling. And they would bring out the dreidel and show the four sides and what the rules were. The hay would be hus, chatzi. The player takes half of the pot, rounding up if there is an odd number. And the shin, when it would land on the shin or in the pay that came out of on the Israeli ones, the player would put in one marker into the pot, and this is how the pot would grow. There are other sets of rules as well. I'm going to, now we're at the section called Hanukkah Geld. Hanukkah Geld, which is Yiddish for money, is often distributed to children to add to the holiday excitement. The amount is usually in small coins, although grandparents or relatives may give larger sums. In Israel, Hanukkah Geld is known as Dmi Hanukkah. The tradition of giving Hanukkah Geld dates back to a long-standing East European custom of children presenting their teachers with a small sum of money at this time of year as a token of gratitude. The connection may be etymological because the words Hanukkah means dedication and Hinuch, education, come from the same root. In time, money was also given to children to keep for themselves. According to the Magen Avraham, a book written in the 1600s, poor yeshiva students would receive a gift of money from their Jewish benefactors on Hanukkah. In the 1920s, American chocolatiers picked up on the gift coin concept by creating chocolate gilt. Many Hasidic rebbes distributed coins to those who visit them during Hanukkah. Hasidic Jews consider this to be a segula, a merit, a good luck for success. In the Kabbalah, each law of the Hanukkah lights is created to subdue a force of foreign darkness. This is the traditional Kabbalistic teaching of Hashem created this opposite this. This is a translation of a teaching by one of the Hasidic rebbes, Rabbi Sholom Dovder of Lubavitch. It's called Defeating Darkness. The rabbis taught the mitzvah of the Hanukkah candle is to place it in the outer part of the doorway of the house. This is when the door of the house opens onto a public thoroughfare. But if it opens onto a private yard, the candle is to be placed by the front gate of the yard. Rashi comments that the reason why the candle should be outside is to publicize the miracle of Hanukkah. Unlike Tosafot, Rashi deems it sufficient to set it by the door of the house, even when the door opens onto a private yard. Where in the doorway do we place it? At the left side, so that the mezuzah is to the right of the person lighting, and the Hanukkah candle is to his left. The Tur, the halakhic work of Yaakov ben Asher, writes that if for some reason the doorway does not have a mezuzah, the Hanukkah candle should be placed on the right side. We need to understand. One, why the most important thing is for the Hanukkah candle to shine out towards the outside, either to the public domain or to the yard. Unlike the mezuzah, it has no intrinsic connection to the door of the house. 2. What is the significance of placing the Hanukkah candle on the left side? And 3. Since the Gemara states that the reason the Hanukkah candle is placed at the left side of the doorway is in order to be opposite the mezuzah on the right, this indicates that there is a relationship between the two objects. And only when there is a mezuzah, the candle is placed at the left. Otherwise, it is put on the right. What is this relationship? Before we can understand the above, we must first consider the verse. For the mitzvah is a candle, and the Torah is light. Just as physical light is generated by a candle, the light of Torah is generated by a mitzvah candle. Without the candle of mitzvahs to dispel the darkness, there can be no light of Torah. Through the mitzvah candle, we attain the Torah light, which is the inner light of the essence of God. The source of light that has to shine below in order to transform the spiritual darkness of this world into light. Briefly, the explanation of this is as follows. Mitzvahs can be performed only with physical substance. For example, tzitzit are made of physical wool. The 4 species waved on Sukkot are physical plants. And a mezuzah is written on physical parchment. Through doing mitzvahs with physical objects, we can transcend the separateness of the physical that we perceive with our senses and realize our true nothingness in relation to Hashem, that the created existence is nothing, and the Creator is the true existence. Then godliness can be revealed through us and to us. When we meditate upon the verse, I, Hashem, have not changed, we understand that the apparent change during creation from spiritual into physical through the concealment of the spiritual is only from our perspective. From Hashem's perspective, however, there is no darkness or concealment of his infinite light. We contemplate further and we intellectually realize that even from our perspective, there is no darkness and no concealment, only God's infinite light. Thinking about this truth evokes within us an intense desire to actually experience it. How can we accomplish this? Through learning Torah, the embodiment of God's wisdom and will in this physical world, and through fulfilling the mitzvahs, God's inner will. Now we can understand why the Hanukkah candle is placed outside the doorway on the left side. The Greeks defiled all the oil in the temple, in the oil temple chambers. Wisdom is compared to oil. The Greeks wanted to contaminate the wisdom of the Torah with their intellectual wisdom. The positive wisdom of the Torah brings about a level of self-nullification that enables the one who learns it to fulfill Torah and mitzvot and generally be a good person. On the other hand, the negative wisdom of the Greeks brings the one who learns it to feel himself to be a separate existence. He does whatever he wants to do rather than what Hashem expects of him. The Greeks wanted to neutralize the positive wisdom, the true reality with the negative wisdom, the perceived reality. They wanted to make the Jews forget that the Torah is God's Torah and to deny God's existence by not allowing the Jews to do the chukim, the statutes. Those mitzvot decreed by the Torah, which cannot be understood and rationally justified by human intelligence. The Hasmoneans, the Maccabees, overpowered and defeated the Greeks through their complete devotion to Hashem. To the extent that they gave up their lives, their existence, to reveal God's existence, the idea of the mitzvah candle. Afterwards, they instituted the lighting of the Hanukkah candles, which is the same idea as the Torah light. The Hanukkah candle is a revelation of the light of the future redemption, the light of the essence of God, the light which automatically dispels and transforms the darkness. This is why the Hanukkah candle must be placed outside the door facing a public area. The outside, the domain of the public, reflects the idea of plurality, of separate existence. The Hanukkah candle contains the capacity to light up even the realm that represents a denial of God's existence and a rebellion against Him. This darkness is automatically nullified by the light of Hanukkah. The source of the negative forces is the left side. The Hanukkah candle is on the left and shines towards the left. It lights up the negativity of the left side. Rashi rules that it is permissible to put the Hanukkah candle outside a front door that opens to a yard. The numerical value of the Hebrew word for yard, chatzer, is equivalent to that of Bina, Givura, and Hod, understanding, severity, and splendor. These are the three divine attributes of the left side. Therefore, when the Hanukkah candle faces the public domain of the yard, it still accomplishes the same thing. This effect of the Hanukkah candle being placed on the left is operative only if there is a mezuzah affixed on the right. Mezuzah is considered equivalent to all the mitzvahs combined. The mezuzah on the door of a house shows that everything in the house is nullified before Hashem. It is on the right side, the side of holiness, the right that attracts. It brings the physical close to the divine and enables it to be nullified before Hashem. Thus we see that the mezuzah expresses perfectly the idea of the mitzvah candle. First, we need to have the mitzvah light of the mezuzah on the right, and then we can have the Torah light of the Hanukkah candle on the left. If there is no mezuzah on the right, we put the Hanukkah candle on the right because it is also a mitzvah. In such circumstances, placing the Hanukkah candle outside on the right is enough to reveal the light of Torah. There is another story to be read. We are out of town, so I'm hoping that you will read it. Next week, we will go into some of the deeper kavanot to include in your consciousness as you light the Hanukkah candles and as you celebrate the holiday with great joy. Does anyone have any questions? I bid you all shalom. Tomorrow we have two classes. We have one more class today, which is at 3 o'clock West Coast time. And then we have two classes tomorrow. The class today is continuing our teachings of advanced reincarnation. The class on the classes tomorrow, one at 4:30 West Coast time, will be a mini Zohar class, And at 7 o'clock will be the an essay, continuing the an essay that we are studying by Rabbi Ashlag. Are there any questions? I bid you all Shavua Tov, a good week, and Shalom to all.
Shalom. Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov. Shalom.